The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In this, the 21st century, it seems a little strange to be talking about unclean spirits, doesn't it? On the other hand, maybe not so strange. I think that there are unclean spirits everywhere. And I think most of us, if not all of us, have seen and encountered spirits that are unclean. Anyone who has encountered someone who has been addicted to a substance knows about unclean spirits. Anyone who has themselves been addicted knows about these unclean spirits. Anyone who has this unrelenting hatred that they just can't do anything with knows about unclean spirits. Anyone who has this sense that they have to blame somebody else knows about unclean spirits. So it seems to me that it's important for us to take a look at these stories, this story in particular, and see what is going on and how Jesus interacts with these unclean spirits. So here's Jesus, and he's invited to teach in the synagogue at Capernaum, and in comes somebody with an unclean spirit. And the unclean spirit immediately recognizes who Jesus is. Remember, Jesus had just been baptized in the River Jordan, and the Holy Spirit had descended upon him. So, this spirit, unclean though it is, recognizes like. Like recognizes like. The spirit recognizes the spirit in Jesus. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." He says this other strange thing. "What is it? What's between us here? What is it between me and you? Why are we even in the same space? What do you have in mind for me?" And then he says, I think the most insidious thing, "Have you come to destroy us?" And I think that is a baiting question. Because the spirits, the unholy spirits, ultimately are seeking the destruction of the people in whom they reside. And so he says, "Have you come to destroy us?" And he puts his arm around the guy who he is possessing. Maybe he can get the destruction of this guy after all, if Jesus takes the bait. But Jesus doesn't take the bait. He says, "Be quiet." He actually says, "Shut up and get out of him." And the unclean spirit leaves him. And everybody says, "Whoa, what authority. Even the unclean spirits obey him." And that is amazing. It is almost as amazing, though, that Jesus makes the distinction between the person who is possessed by the unclean spirit and the unclean spirit itself. This is something that we need a lot of help with and a lot of work with. Again, anyone that you've ever interacted with who's been addicted to a substance, alcoholics, drug addicts, whatever, you know the difficulty of this. At first, Maybe somebody comes and they're addicted, somebody you know and love, and they're acting in such terrible ways, self-destructive ways, and you just want to, oh, come on, no, come on. And then after a while, I hear this more than once, you just want to shake them. And I kind of wonder when I hear that whether there's some basis in unclean spiritness in that. Like, I just want to shake them until that spirit gets out of them. But ultimately, not always, but sometimes you say, I'm washing my hands of this person. I cannot deal with them. And you dismiss them. And it is there that we have not discerned the distinction between the person and their unclean spirit. And it happens a lot. Many years ago, when I first started in ministry in Durham at Abiding Savior, we had a very hard time at the beginning of my time there finding a musician. It was agonizing. Oftentimes we sang the liturgy a cappella. Oftentimes we'd have some young guy who was just kind of plucking out the chords and the notes. It was excruciating. But finally we found this woman, and her name was Sandra. And Sandra had this, she was an amazing pianist. She was actually had a PhD in piano performance, and she taught across the street at North Carolina Central University. Unbelievable. She was classically trained, but she also could just totally rock on gospel and anything. Anything you wanted her to play, she could play it. And so, for several months, we had it really, really good. The music was great. The spirit of the place was really good because of the music. But then, slowly but surely, things started unraveling. Sandra would come late to church. I'd be sitting there, it'd be 11 o'clock. She wasn't there yet. I'd stall and stall until about maybe 10 after she'd slide into her piano bench, and then we could start. The choir started telling me how she would get angry and upset with people over nothing and start berating them. Sometimes she wouldn't even show up at all for rehearsals. She would practice a anthem with the choir in one key, and when she got there on Sunday morning, her hands would land on another key and she'd play it in that, and it was a disaster. Anyway, after a while, it just became clear. We talked to her, she would get better for a while, then go back to the old things, the old habits. Well, one week I was away, and when I came back, I checked in with the president of the council. And I said, well, how are things going? And he said, oh, yeah, things are fine. It's great. I fired Sandra. And I was like, oh, you fired Sandra? Yeah, it was too much. She came to the choir. She was yelling at everybody. I just fired her. I had two reactions to that. And neither one of them am I proud of, but this is what it was. The first was, oh, shoot, now we don't have any good music anymore. We're back to square one on the music front. The second, which was even worse, was, I'm glad I didn't have to be a part of that. I am so thankful that this guy did it and I didn't have to. We had not discerned between this woman and the unclean spirit that was possessing her. We simply said, both of you out. And all of us were in agreement, except for one. And she came to my office, this woman in my congregation, and she said, Pastor, I'm really, really upset with how we handled that situation. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, but that poor woman is sick. She needed help. And our congregation wasn't giving it to her. And immediately I knew that she was right. And I felt really bad about it. And the next week, even, in fact, there was a text similar to the one we have today. And I said, you know what? I messed up on this one. I did not discern between her and the spirit that was driving her. And I feel really bad for that. We can do better. Well, my great mentor, Rudy Ludwig, was in the congregation that morning. And as everybody filed out, and I was greeting everybody, he takes me by the shoulders and he says, "Confession is good for the soul." And did what he always did. He kissed me on one cheek and then the other cheek. And then just walked away. We did not discern the spirits the way Jesus does in this one. He doesn't cast out, he doesn't destroy the man in front of him. He sees a human being. It is the unclean spirit that is cast out. Now, there are times when we do see clearly that kind of distinction, when we can make that distinction, when I think the Spirit of God is at work in us. These days, in the last several years, I have been encountered by many people who have been addicted to heroin. I am not a great discerner of the spirits in the sense that I don't just get a feel right away. But when someone comes near me who has a spirit of the addiction of heroin, I know it. I see it. And I hear different voices. Sometimes I hear the voice of the person. Sometimes I hear the voice of the addiction. And it's that kind of distinction and discernment that the church is called to, I believe. And there are times when there is such beauty in making that distinction. So another story. I was asked to speak about moral injury to a group of 60 veterans and their spouses down in Wenatchee. And it was, I didn't want to do it because I'm not a veteran. I didn't have the authority that Jesus has to speak. I didn't have the authority of a veteran or anything like it. But the man who was in charge, a therapist who knew all of these men, said, "You're the person to do this. You should talk about this." So I went and I talked about our Honorable Welcome Home program. And everybody was with me. They liked it. They really thought this was great. We were inviting veterans to come and spend time with us here in Chelan. And then I turned the corner and I started talking about moral injury and describing it. And as I was describing it, I could see all of the veterans with their hands on the table, just about ready to push themselves up to get out of the table, to get out of there, because they didn't want to hear it. And then I saw the second thing, which was their spouses putting their hand on the shoulder of their husband and like just gently letting them go back into their chair as if to say, "No, no, no, you have to hear this." And so they did. They sat right back down. It was like whoop and then whoop back down. And I just continued on. I saw it, but what could I do? So I just kept continuing talking about this and got to the end of the presentation, and the man who was in charge of the whole program came and said, "Okay, well, thank you for coming, and Pastor Paul will be here if you want to talk to him." And there was this lineup of guys, and the first one through, he's looking down at his shoes and he's saying, "I don't believe anyone could ever forgive me for what I have done." And I said, "Yes, God can forgive you. God does forgive you." "No, no, no." And he gets kind of angry, like, "No, what have you to do with me?" And I'm like, holy mackerel, this poor guy. And he's angry at me and he's kind of just going like this. And I did what people are not supposed to do with anybody that's been traumatized with PTSD or other things like that. I grab him by his shoulders and I kind of want to shake him. And I grab him and I say, "No, you listen. You are forgiven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are forgiven." I didn't say, "Come out of him, you spirit of shame." I should have. But I named forgiveness. The Holy Spirit of God was present And I think that when the holy presence of God, the Spirit of God is present, there's no room for an unclean spirit. And that man started to weep. And I hugged him, and he went. And then the next, and the next. Oh, there are unclean spirits. The spirit of shame in that case. Gripping people so that they disqualify themselves from their lives, so that they hurt themselves and destroy themselves rather than living the life that God intended for them. That's what the unclean spirits do. But the Holy Spirit of God calls forth the person, the human being who was made in God's image, and discerns between that person and that unclean spirit. And I think that we in our day can learn an awful lot from that. How often we look at someone who we disagree with and want to just cast them out. Now, it is not the case, let me be clear about this, it is not the case that everybody that we disagree with has an unclean spirit in them. That's not the point. But I do think the point is that we are in the grip of unclean spirits, the unclean spirit of division and rancor and hatred. We are in the grip of those spirits. And for us, the call is to discern between people in the grip of the Spirit and that Spirit, and to name that Spirit, be aware of it in ourselves and in others. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to enter into relationship that is not filled with rancor and hatred and desire to cast out. I suspect that anyone who has ever recovered from addiction can tell you the names of people who did not cast them out, who actually saw them in the midst of their struggle and called out to that person. And that, my friends, is what the church is here to do. We are called out by God, our true selves, and not those unholy spirits, unclean spirits, which we are sometimes associated with. And as we are called out, we know our freedom. And then we are called to pass on that freedom to those who are also caught up in the grip of unclean spirits. We are freed in order to free. We are loved in order to love. We are reconciled in order to reconcile. We do not always agree, and that's fine. But let us not demonize. Let us not exercise the evil spirit of division and hatred. But instead, let us love one another. Let us be kind to one another. And let us see clearly human beings, even when they are in the grip of unclean spirits. That's the calling. That's the work of the church. And thanks be to God, we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit of God to discern and to love. Amen.